Welcome to the Destiny Church Podcast. We just want to take a second to thank you for listening today. We hope today's message encourages you to find a closer walk with the Lord. Here at Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships. Let's join in on the message together and hear a word from the Lord.
I wanted to say I'm seeing some new faces today. Praise God. I'm happy to see you. Welcome. My name is Ryan. There is a welcome card. I think it was in the video announcements, but I want to encourage you. It's a great time now. Grab that. You can fill it out. Of course, we're not putting it in the offering buckets, but what you can do with that visit, it says a guest card is what it is. You walk back to the information center after the service, you hand that to them, or you walk into that table right at the entry, and you get what we call a swag bag. Me and Miles love the word swag bag because, according to Michael Scott from The Office, stuff we all get. Come on. So anyway, Phil, there we go. Some people watch The Office. I appreciate the laughs. But fill that out and get that. Hey, the swag bag actually is pretty cool. There's like a tumbler and other information and stuff. The other element, Aaron, it's this week, right? We have our cards, our event cards. We have new event cards. So some of you guys really love the little event cards. Go find those event cards, get a hold of them, information center. They're at the information center as well. There's going to be a line like that's concessions after service. So praise the Lord. Awesome. Bingo. Last thing I'm going to say about all this business, and we'll get on this sermon. Bingo is awesome. Some of you might have mixed feelings about bingo. Hannah and I really love it. We don't go there to make money, obviously. We go there just to have a lot of fun. We have been to Caritas, it's called. And we used to go when we lived on that end of town. It was just a really
fun
date night.
Get yourself some fried shrimp, sit there.
The food is surprisingly good. I cannot believe it. But anyway, the story is this. Hannah is really excited, super intense. It's dead silent.
It is like the most intense event in town, I swear.
You buy your daubers before you go. You don't have little chips. You have daubers, man. You're daubing. And that's pretty much why it's so fun is because you're daubing. Oh, my gosh. Boom, boom. And we have like 12 cards.
We get multiple cards.
You know, just the intensity. It amps up the intensity. So Hannah gets really excited and thinks she wins at one point. So she stands up and says, bing, no. She realized that she didn't win mid-bing. And then so she wanted to let people know, no. And anyway, we're just really excited.
I got glared at like she did. Nobody's business.
Somebody was going to come
get
her.
They were like, they need to leave.
Yep. So anyway, we're just excited to do the bingo night for fun. There's no gambling or whatever gets associated with it. It's not happening. It's just for fun.
Yeah,
so,
we don't win. We're pretty much just playing for the fun of it.
Praise the Lord.
So we are kicking off the relationship series for this month of September. You're going to be hearing about a lot of different things, whether it's family, whether it's, you know, our relationship with God, friends, all of that. But today we're going to talk about relationship with authority and what that looks like in our life, all the different kinds of authority there may or may not be, or whether you're in authority. So we're going to get into that today. Really excited to share what God has laid on our hearts. And just to dive right into it, I mean, come on. And I really want to touch on that some of us might say, you know, well, I don't really have a job. I don't really have somebody over me in my life. I don't really have this authority. So now you've clicked out of this sermon already. And I want to tell you the main thing in life is we all are under God's authority. And so if you feel like you don't really have anybody to answer to and you're like, this doesn't really refer to my life, this refers to you more than you will ever, than we even know. Because everything in our life, we have somebody that we are being held accountable to and that we're going to answer to. In Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free and masters. Treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So as we were writing this sermon and as we were told that this is what topic we were sharing on, I'm pretty black and white, if you know me, like, at all. I'm either, like, in or I'm out. I'm either fully on board. Like, you tell me something, and I will follow you blindly if I believe what you're saying. Ryan always says, like, Hannah, you got to think for yourself. But I kind of just flip a switch and I'm like, I'm on board. Let's do this thing. And so when I read this verse that says, you know, just obey your obey whoever's in authority of you. I'm like, okay. I'm like, Ryan, why are we preaching a sermon on this? We need to listen to who's in authority over us. Like, it's pretty simple. And he's like, no, it doesn't really work that way. Like, some people need to know why. And that's totally true. And I want to address those of you that maybe fall into the category of me where you're like, okay, you know, God places people in authority. I'm going to listen to authority. I got it all. Awesome. That it really boils down to a heart issue. And for me, that's even what I sometimes have struggled with when people are over me in authority or when I'm following somebody. And, you know, right now my dad is my pastor, my dad is my boss, my dad is my dad. So pretty much he's like the authority in my life. but I have been under authority in my life that I haven't agreed with. And I have times that I don't agree with my dad. And if you've been in team meetings, then you know that. And there are good ways and wrong ways to agree and disagree. But really just wanted to touch on that it boils down to the heart, your heart and how you respond to things. But it really, we just were like, you know what, God's our authority. Even if you don't have somebody over your in your life, that you're accountable for the time that you have, for the different things that you do, you have him to answer to.
Yeah, and going to the person that always asks why, like I had a really hard time growing up. I was the kid that always asked why. And my daughter's 2 and she does it. I think I did it until I was like 18. Oh, why? Why would I do that? Why?
You're going to be answering all those
and
questions.
Listen, I'm not saying 18. That's totally right. However, just know you have a thinker on your hands if that's who your kid is or that's who a person that you're dealing with is always saying why. My encouragement is to not just shut them down right away and say, because I said so. There is a time and place for that. But these people are thinkers. Out there, you people out there that are thinkers, you're saying, yeah, why? Why is that? If you're a why person, you're wondering why would Ephesians, for starters, call me a slave. Listen, it's relevant to the day and age at the time. And it says, obey your masters with respect and fear and all this stuff. And you say, man, why would I do that? You know, I got some crazy masters out there. Master, replace that word with whatever you need to, boss, whatever, any superior in your life. You don't do it just to be a good kid. You do it, or be a good person, obviously. I always like to call myself a kid. If you're 75, call yourself a kid. Come on. It'll help you believe you're younger still. But you do it because ultimately, and I say this all the time, and you hear me say this, you are a representative of heaven. So you're not doing it just to serve your, whatever, your master at that point in time, your boss, whoever it is, well. You're doing it because you want to serve God well. And when you serve God well, you represent God all the time. If you're a believer and people know you're a believer, you're a representative of heaven. And so you need to bring honor to the people around you, whether or not they're honoring you. And so that is the challenge, and we're going to get into that more as we keep rolling on in this. But this scripture, know that what it's really telling you is that ultimately God is your authority and you're accountable to God far beyond any person on this earth.
And that definitely helps with the non-negotiables, things like that, that you like, you know, what does my boss tell me to do? What is, you know, don't follow them blindly. You know, you do answer to an ultimate authority, and that outranks everything that anybody on this earth could tell you. And so we're going to move to what authority God has placed. In Romans 13:1, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And so when we started talking about this, I was like, man, I don't know about all authority. And he's like, Hannah, it is in the Bible, all authority. And I was like,
New Testament, come on.
Yeah, but like, what about those other leaders where I'm like, I don't know if God would place them in authority. And he goes, well, it says in the Bible, Hannah, that all authority. And I was like, well, then I guess we should use that scripture because I need to hear that. But we just got to talking about it and, you know, how there's good people in authority, bad people in authority. And Ryan was like, I think God uses those, even the bad ones. And he can turn wicked hearts, obviously. But I'd say let's go into some of those different types.
So we kind of have three categories of authority for your note-taking purposes. We're actually starting kind of at the top, which is government. We go to bosses, we go to parents, then we go to just little old you. So we're going to start in government. And so government, this is obviously a pretty big challenge to a lot of us. If you just heard the scripture, it's like, whoa, listen, the government's doing stuff that I don't agree with all the time. You know, the government's doing this and that and whatever. Well, listen, as Christians, God has empowered you in Scripture to know how to deal with situations when legislation passes that you disagree with largely or it falls into sin for you. You have been empowered by the gospel. Let's get into that. I'm going to start with this. Actually, I'm going to start with taxes. Listen, you know the verse of render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Dude, pay your taxes. Do not be a rebellious person and try to get out on paying taxes. Do you not want a safe, civil, first world country? That's what you get when you pay your taxes. I've been to countries where they cheat and they lie and they don't pay their taxes and the government is not even remotely honest and it's horrible. Those are third world countries. There's potholes everywhere. There's no police officers. It is horrific. So I know that, hey, listen, let me just say it like this. Like, I don't like paying my taxes, obviously, but I know at the end of the day, I want to have a safe home with police. I want a safe society. And so that's why I say, man, God's telling you this because it actually benefits you. This isn't something that is just like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Let's do it. No. It's scriptural. You do it because the Word of God is infallible. So anyway, the next thing is, now you take that a step further. We're talking about unjust legislation that happens. Now, this is where you fight for freedom. So there is a point in time that comes when you need to stand up against something that's going on in legislation or just it's already been passed legislation. Now it's a law and you have to abide by it or you're breaking the law. Listen, there is a place where you stand up. You don't just bow down and say, oh, okay, I guess that's what happened. I'm just a little dude. I'm never going to make a difference. And so, all right, that is not godly, my friend. That is not a person with a mind of Christ. You stand up, and you stand up for what's right. We just had Beer Lahai Roy up here. We're helping moms that need homes, moms that are having babies that don't have any support. We're blessing them. You can stand up and fight for that. The bigger issue is abortion. I believe that's a serious issue. Abortion is wrong. It's the murdering of babies and brutal murders in some cases. And so you can stand up and you can do things. You don't just sit down and take it. And here's an example. You're like, whoa, man, what kind of anarchist is this guy? No, I'm not. I believe in the Bible and Scripture. Let's go to Scripture when somebody stood up against something extremely wrong. What happened? Daniel, go to Daniel. The story of King Nebuchadnezzar and
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He goes,
into bed we go.
Into bed we go. That's what he goes. He goes, that's how I
really hard
that.
For me every that. Time I say that. I've said that before in a sermon.
Shadrach, Meshach, said it wrong last and Abednego.
Time. That story is a very powerful king saying, I want everybody to come bow to this golden statue. You bow to this or you die. That is wrong. If that happened, you had better not just go, all right, well, that's the law. We got to do it. Dude, you don't do that. You stand, like, that's just wrong. It's against, so what happens, like I just told you, it's ultimately against your authority, and your authority, at the end of the day, is God. You have to stand with God. So when legislation passes that is directly against what God would have you do, you stand for it. So what happened with them? If you know the story, they got brought before Nebuchadnezzar. He says, bow. They say, no way, man. We have one God. We don't bow to anything except for that God. And he gets furious, throws him into a fire. Jesus brings him out of a fire. God brings him out of a fire. And they change a nation in a moment. What I'm telling you is that sometimes I just think we have little thinking. I am super guilty of that. I see stuff going on, and I'm like, man, it's just a bummer. I can't do nothing about that. That's not true. Like, you serve a God that created the entire earth, and you think that you're powerless over it? Listen, like, you are sons and daughters of the only real God. All other gods are fake. They're false, man. They're fabricated lies from the enemy to deter people that need a God. All of you were created for a God to deter people from meeting the one true God and then filling the God spot with all these fake lies. So anyway, I want to read you the, actually, I'm going to have Hannah read you the scripture of what happened in Daniel 3. This is after they come out of the fire. This is what happens with Nebuchadnezzar.
So yeah, it's in Daniel 3:26. Then
Nebuchadnezzar.
Thanks. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God."
Come on. Praise God. So that happens, and Nebuchadnezzar continues on. If you continue reading, sometimes I like to leave some scripture out there, so you're like, man, I wonder what else happened. Oh, good, go read. Come on. Praise God, go read. What does happen, though, is that Nebuchadnezzar puts a decree in the land that, like, hey, anybody that speaks against this God, I'm going to tear them limb from limb, which is just goes to see how crazy King Nebuchadnezzar is. But needless to say, because these three men stood on their values in a time, you fighting. This is fighting for freedom, if you haven't caught that. That's what fighting for freedom is. You stand on your values, and you fight for them. And you can change a nation.
And I think it's really important to address how they did that. They didn't go say, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, no way, your God's not, you know, and just go like, you know, to him, be like, yeah, okay.
Do you watch
anybody
Friends?
Watch Friends?
You know what that
no?
means.
Okay, well, anyway. They got your Office reference, so they didn't get my Friends reference. That's okay. but they didn't just go and say, you know what? We don't serve your God. That's not our God. We can't. They didn't go and just go really intense in his face and yell and say, no, no, no. And then they get in the fire and they come out and be like, see, told you so. Then he would have been like, not so much. They didn't handle it quite with grace. But when they're like, hey, sorry, like, we can't. We just can't. They go in there. They handle it with grace. They come out. And because of that, a king's heart was changed. How they handled that instance of disagreeing with the government that had been placed above them was huge, paramount for that story to turn out the way it did. And that's all about, again, a heart issue. That if they would have been like, I know better, you don't know, that would not have turned out the same way. But moving from government to even boss, you know, we all live here, we all have this government. A lot of us work, we have a boss or some type of authority figure in our day-to-day life, whether that is your pastor here at church, whether that's your boss at your work, somebody that you, they can say, hey, can you do this, you know, or hey, I think this is a good idea for you, for our business. And so really getting down into that where, again, you know, doing what your boss asks you to do, doing it with a smile on your face, being that example, being that good Christian where it's like, not just, I can't do that because the Bible says I can't do that. And then they have a nasty taste in their mouth for you and your attitude, and they don't want to know the God that you know. And so really handling that with grace. And if you are somebody's boss, you know, a lot of this goes twofold. A lot of us are under authority, but some of us are the authority in areas of our life, and also handling that with grace. Even me personally, you know, I was going to be like, let's just share an example where we didn't agree with authority. How many of us could share an example where we did not agree with somebody who was in authority and they're like, they did not handle that right? All of us. So I'll share an example where I was in authority and I did not handle it right, because that's a little bit harder to think of times when we did something we didn't think was right. Even just like a week ago, I was dealing with somebody in the church and I did something. And I, you know, thought I handled it really well. I was like, I think I understand all this situation perfectly, and went about it. And then they came up to me later and they're like, hey, that wasn't right. And I was like, oh, man, are they right? They're right. I didn't handle that quite right. And for the way that they handled it in grace, but for me in authority to be like, oh, wow, like they just confronted me in a very graceful way, how am I going to respond to this as authority? It's, you know what? I am sorry. I didn't do something that was right. I apologize for the way that affected you. I apologize that I didn't handle that in the best way. And I'm sorry that that hurt you. So if you're an authority over someone, you need to be just as much as a representation of Christ to that person that you're an authority over and be able to stand up when you say, man, I didn't do that right. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Thank you for the grace. Because when we handle those situations right, whether you're in authority or whether you're under authority, and people don't leave offended, that person could have just been offended and not said anything. But they didn't. They said, okay, let's try to say something. And I say, okay, God, I hear you on that. Thank you. Thank you for having them speak up. You know what? I am sorry for offending you. I'm sorry for not handling that right. And that was my fault, so I apologize. In that moment, I'm pretty sure the enemy goes, dang it. Dang it. They didn't leave that church. I mean, I'm just being honest with you guys because that's what happens. Being in leadership at a church is kind of scary because somebody, you offend somebody, even if they're just your friend, you offend them, they're done. They're gone out of that church. They are over it. They're going to go find somebody else, go to a different church, and that offense is still going to be inside of them, and they're going to get offended again, and it's just a continual cycle. But when you say, I'm not asking for y'all to line up after church and tell me how I've offended you. Please. I don't know if I can emotionally withstand that today. But really, yeah, I know. Now I'm probably going to, today on Facebook, 10 new messages. But to really say, you know what, handle our offense, whether that's something you need to bring up to somebody or whether that's something you say, God, can you just help me through this? I know they didn't mean for that to happen that way. God, just help me. Help me in my heart. Help me work through this. That it really comes down to that's the kick in the devil's face, not to just let offense settle inside of you, whether you're going to have a conversation with God and he's going to handle it with you or whether you need to have a conversation with somebody who is an authority over you, but really saying, you know what, devil? I'm not going to let that ruin. I'm not going to let that determine what I am and am not going to do.
Yeah. Talking about, so Hannah talked a lot on like church authority. Now I want to address bosses. I know there's a lot of business owners in this room, and I know there's, whether or not you own a business, you may be a superior at that business, manager, whatever, what have you. Hannah's making fun of me for spinning. It's a nervous tick, all right? Come on. So, no, the thing that you need to know here as a boss is, as I have said, whether you're a boss or just an employee of a company, if you want to be a Christian, if you've agreed with the idea that Jesus died for your sins and you say, yes, Jesus, save me, and Jesus does that, now you are a part of the kingdom. I mean, that's why we're here today, if you believe in that. So you are now a Christian. You are now represented in heaven. This is repeat. I get it. But what I'm saying is apply that in your daily lifestyle. Sometimes we hear that, and we're like, yeah, it's good. And then you have good days, and you have bad days. What I'm really challenging you with is on those bad days, you need to keep applying that to your life. Having a bad day, somebody cuts you off, and you're ready to flip them the bird, whatever you're going to do, mouthing off, you're yelling in your car. I think it's just as bad to be barking stuff in your closed window car where only you are hearing it as it would be to yell it to their face, man. Listen, you are a representative of heaven. Do not tarnish the kingdom of which we all hold so sacred by ripping your let's just say it like this, your foolish employee, your ignorant employee, a new one. The boss, I've been reading a book called Thou Shall Prosper by Rabbi Daniel Lapton. Excellent book. It's a very big, very large book, long read. I'm doing it on an audio version, so I don't actually have to read it, but I can hear it on the lawnmower or while I'm working, whatever it is. But in that book, he talks about, like, man, why are the Jews so successful in business? They have guidelines that they follow. They read these things, and they're taught all these guidelines and rules from little tiny children. And so one of the most important ones is that they don't lose their temper. They see it as an extremely foolish thing to do, to lose your temper. Why is that? Well, I can get some fear into people if I lose my temper, and they know. Then they know I'm serious, and I'm upset. Dude, no. What you've done in that moment, if you've rendered all of your control to them, they have made you angry. They are in control of you at that point in time. And so now when you've lost control of yourself, you now have, you look like a fool. Not only are you foolish, but you look like a fool. You lose respect. Like, listen, you're representative of heaven. Do not do that because it's bad for you. Because it's bad for you. Father God tells us it's not good for us to live in anger. So anyway, that's one aspect. If you're a boss, don't lose your temper. Be patient with these people, especially if they know you're a Christian, man. What a bad taste to put in their mouth. Now, if you are, which we addressed earlier, if you're a worker, you're just an employee, whatever. I don't care if you're minimum wage. There's a couple different things I want to say. Man, respect your authority in this way. I noticed that my generation, not so much like my father-in-law's generation, they work no matter what. They work because they work. My generation's like, well, I got this late night. I think I'll skip today. What? Like, listen, I get why you think you can do that because in policy it says you can do that. But, dude, that's a slouch. Don't be a sloth and represent the kingdom of heaven. That's what that is. You're practicing the sin of sloth, my friend, when you just slouch, you're rolling late. Listen, I actually have a bad time rolling in sometimes 2 to 3 minutes late to meetings or whatever. That's an issue. I'm working on it. We'll let you know I am definitely not perfect. Obviously, I'm not talking from a place of perfect. I'm talking from a broken place to you. But be a representative of heaven. When your boss chews you out, you sit there and you respect him in every way possible. You don't mouth back. I know some of you are like, well, duh. But man, come on. Let's just be honest right now. I know y'all are saying, oh, I know that. But are you practicing that? I get it. There's lots of grace. We have bad days. We lose it. It happens. But please have it stamped on your mind. I represent heaven everywhere I go. You start doing that, and you'll notice that sin doesn't have such a foothold in your life anymore. You start doing that, and you start disappointing the enemy a whole lot because he says, dang it. If they have that mindset, they have the mindset of Christ, and I cannot stop them. I can't. Did you just hear that? He cannot stop you if you carry that mentality. So, biblical example. Well, I could say lots of good things that make a lot of sense, but it's a waste of my time if it's not biblical. And it is biblical. We're going to read in, I'm going to reference a story again. Now, still in Daniel, we go down the line to King Darius. We're talking about Daniel in the lion's den. Why is that story cool? This dude got thrown in the lion's den, he had a lot of faith, and then he came out. There's a different side of that story. I've preached on this before. The side of that story that, if you missed it, is really powerful is that Daniel was serving a very wicked king. This dude was extremely prideful. Does that ring any bells for any of their bosses out there? Prideful, really arrogant. He was all about himself. Daniel served him regardless. He said, listen, man, this is the position I've been put in. I represent God here. I'm going to serve you the best you've ever been served. So he stands on that. Now, obviously, the story goes, you know, there comes a point in time when Darius gets tricked into, hey, nobody can pray to any god. They need to worship me instead. And he's like, yeah, that sounds awesome because I'm freaking arrogant and prideful. So he does that. And then it goes out. And then, you know, these little guys, they catch Daniel in the act, la, la, la. Now Darius, it hits him that happened, and he's like, no, man, Daniel, this dude that only does me good. I understand that he stands for something different, whatever, his weird little religion. That is a huge bummer, and I'm upset, but I have to go by this law. He throws him in the pit, comes out. Here's what you need to catch. The whole time, Daniel, this guy that refuses to worship Darius and refuses to worship any other god except for his own, that should enrage Darius, but it doesn't. It actually makes Darius to where it's like, man, I love this guy so much because he's so respectful and so honoring to me that now that he's in the pit, I'm worried that I'm going to lose one of my best employees. Let's say it like that, one of my best employees. Even though that employee does not agree with me on everything, he honors me in such a way that I have fallen in love with him in some way. Nothing weird, obviously. I'm talking the respectful love. I have fallen in love with his style of following and his style of leadership, and now I have to throw him into a pit. He doesn't sleep all night. Daniel, with great faith, comes out of the pit, and Darius says, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're alive, obviously, but I am so excited. I'm going to put you over everything." He has those wicked guys thrown in the pit, in case you don't know the story. And then this happens. Here's the byproduct.
In Daniel 6, 25, it says, "Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout the kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end."
Dude, that's King Darius, man. This is a dude that wants to be worshipped. He doesn't care about this God. But because Daniel stood on his values, he stood for what he believed in, and he served. That is what's so important. He served a wicked king to the best of his ability because he knows he was representative of heaven. He changed an entire nation, man. You can change a whole company by serving a wicked boss. Listen, there is a time, I know that there is bosses out there that, hey, they're not only lose their temper, but they're asking you to do illegal things. They're asking you to do just maybe it's not illegal, but you know it's wrong, stuff like that. No, I'm not saying get behind that and do that. I'm saying stand on your values in those moments and say, listen, man, I ultimately serve God, and that is where the line, I have to draw the line. I cannot do this for you. He might cast you in the lion's den. He might throw you out, and he will realize very quickly, wow, I just lost somebody of great significance in this business because you were serving him to the best of your ability. Man, more than anything, this authority deal, I hope I'm inspiring you to be a driven person, not a mediocre person. I'm just so tired of people that claim to be Christians, and they're mediocre workers, man. They just do what it takes to get by, and they just are slouches. Listen, please do not represent heaven in that way. You are tarnishing something very valuable to us. Anyway, sorry. So talking about, yeah, come on, praise God. Talking about in Daniel there, this authority deal it's a big deal. And I know it seems really simple in the things I'm saying, but good, I don't want to make it too complicated because it wouldn't work for me either. The last thing we want to say is really simple, and this is why it applies so well, is in Luke 6:31, "Do unto others as you want done to you." There you are. So let's just say this. Now you're the little guy, and you're just serving that boss. I really believe in the kingdom, what comes around goes around. That is super true. So if you want to be an ornery son of a gun to your boss, when you're the boss someday, baby, it's coming to you. You better watch out. It's coming to you. I believe this to be true. We're going to transition and talk about parents. This is really true with parenting. We got a lot in here, but man, it just works right now. I got to go after this parenting thing. Parents, if you want to be that parent that sits there and watches, I don't care what news outlet you're watching, but you watch a news outlet that bashes whatever current president there is, and you get behind it, and you're like, "That stupid idiot, bleepity bleep, and that idiot, I hate that guy. He has made the worst decisions of any, and then the policy is real." And your kids sit there and watch you. Baby, what comes around goes around. They're going to come bite you with that same attitude that you've been biting your authority with. They're going to be biting you. It is so true. You poison your children. I think even exposing them to a news outlet that bashes leadership is poisoning your children. When you come home from work and you start mouthing off, "That dumb boss of mine, he is such an idiot," and la, 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 you're poisoning your children, man. You're making them where they're just going to be the ornery sons of guns that you're dealing with. That's who your kids are going to be because that's what your mouth has birthed into them. Do not do it because it will come around to bite you hard. Anyway.
And there's a difference also, like what we said, it is a heart issue that, you know, I'm a person where it's like, I can listen to you, I can do what you tell me to do, but in the inside I'm like, I can do this better. Like, I have a better way of doing this. There's a different way to do this, different things like that. Or, you know, you're serving your boss at work. You keep a smile on your face, and you're like, man, he is an idiot. And then you get home, and you're like, well, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, you get zero credit for obeying your boss at work or for doing what your boss asks you to do, when in your heart you're like, when you don't agree with them, because it really is a heart issue over and over. I mean, there's hundreds of verses in the Bible talking about it being a heart issue. Psalms 26:2, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You can do all these things, but if you do not have a pure heart in this manner of honoring your authority, and not just obeying, but honoring your authority. That boss, that he knows you don't necessarily agree with what he's asking you to do, but you're still, you know, you're like, I don't think that's the best way to do it, but that's what you want to do. You're in charge. Let's do it that way. And then you come the next day and you not only obey him, but you honor him by going over and beyond. That's really where you can say, wow, I wish him well. I hope this succeeds, even though this isn't the way I would do it.
You're not submitting to your authority until you have something to disagree on. It's really powerful if you get that idea.
Yeah.
You're not submitting if you love the idea that your boss came up with, and you're like, yeah, let's do that. It's not really submitting. It's your idea, too, because you love it. It's when you have a disagreement, and you choose to serve them anyway, that is submitting to your authority. And it is so important to learn to submit to your authority, because it'll bless your life forever.
So in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, it says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a lifelong on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And what we're really realizing, I mean, we're going to have a whole different sermon about that, but just to touch on authority with parents just a little bit is... my 2-year-old is a very strong-willed child. Like, he had said, the whys and the whatever. And I always do my best to answer those questions because curiosity is great. Getting it down until you're like, there is no other answer to this why. Like, we are at the bottom of the food chain and we're done. Like, I'm not answering another why because there's not another answer. And
can I tell the story now about the ultimate why?
Yeah, that's what I was leading you up, man.
Oh, sorry. Well, I'm taking it quick.
Take it. Go for it.
So yesterday I was home with both the girls. Hannah had, she's
and he was awesome. He even made me a coffee to go before I left.
I made breakfast and a coffee to go.
Breakfast and a piece of French breakfast. Toast, 2 pieces of bacon, and a coffee to go. I was
cooked
like,
the way you
yes.
like. So anyway, so yesterday I'm working with Davina, and I got like Liberty, who has been a really happy baby for the most part, but yesterday she's just fussy, I think because mom wasn't there or whatever. She's drinking out of a bottle, it's just different, so she's fussing a lot. And it's tough because when you got a baby that you're just focusing on, and then you got a 2-year-old that's trying to get in all whatever. She's always got ideas, and she's always got action that she wants. Chad, let's do this. Let's do this next. Let's follow me. Come on, let me show you. She's always doing stuff like this. And so it came a point where I had a show going. It's some, I don't know, it's something about, like, the ocean and stuff. We love watching ocean stuff at my house. And so it's some documentary on the ocean. But then Davina kind of looks at it, and she's like, well, Vina show. That she calls herself Vina. She does not say Davina. She says Vina. And that's how she is asking for a show. Vina show. I want a Vina show. And I look at her, and I'm like, no, it's not going to happen. Like, we're watching this right now. And she gets more upset. She says, Vina show and snack. Vina show and snack. And I said, Davina, I want you to play with your toys. I'm working with Liberty right now. You're going to play with your toys. No way. This is her thing. So I said, listen, here's your options. There's a couple ways to go about this. One is I could say, hey, if you do this, I'll get you a treat. Sure. You ask them to do something, they get a reward for it. I found a better way to do it. I said, here's your two options. You either go get locked in your room, shut in your room. There's no lock on it. I'm not a weirdo, right? There's no locks in that door. And so anyway, I say, either you go to your room and I'll shut the door and you're going to just sit there, or you play with toys. There's your two options now. Because playing with toys is a pretty darn good option, and I'm going to show you that that's a darn good option because it could be a whole lot worse right now. So guess what? Play with toys. So she did. She played with toys. And in that process, she was asking, she continued to ask why. Why? Why are those, that's what she ultimately asked me, is why are those two the only option? And I said, because, Davina, here's the ultimate end of the why question. And I learned this from Thou Shalt Prosper. My Jewish buddies are helping me out. They said this. They say, hey, when kids ask why, we don't just say, because I said so. We say, because the Lord says so, so that they ultimately know that we're not the ultimate authority. God's actually the ultimate authority. So I thought, well, this is a good time to drop it in. She wants to know why. I said, because Davina, God has put me, Jesus works better. God is still kind of rough for her. She doesn't quite get it. But Jesus has put me in charge of you, and I need to raise you well. And these are the two options, because I believe that Jesus has put me in charge of you, you know, just explaining to her that I'm ultimately whatever, because Jesus says so. And it's actually really cool, because it gets you off the hook for something crazy, too. No, I didn't even just say it. Jesus said it. Don't twist that, but for real, apply it. I am in charge of raising you the best way possible. Why can't I run across the street? Because you'll die, for starters, but I am in charge. Jesus has put me in charge of you.
Get to the good part.
So the good part is, she plays with the toys. She stays quiet. She even helps me with Liberty. She gets me a Nook. She gets me the remote as well. I've got to train on all the remotes and even which ones. And anyway, she gets me everything. She's just being awesome. So it clicks for me. It's time for a treat. I need to, without ever offering her a treat, now that she just obeyed the two options, she chose the better option. It wasn't like, you did what I asked you to. I said you have two options, and you chose the better option, so I'm going to give you a treat. So I said, hey, you get a treat for all this. And I even made her wait a little bit. A little prolonged reward is good for a kid. And so she said, all right. And so she waits it out, and she's ready for a treat after a few minutes. I was actually bottle feeding Liberty. That's why I had to wait so long. Took forever. Got up, got her the treats. She gets the treats. She runs over to me, and I'm finishing with Liberty. And I said, yeah, it was really awesome, Davina. You were just so good. She goes, yeah, because Jesus says so. And I was like, what? I am the best parent on earth. It hit that point. I said, yes, the analogy I'm trying to get across doesn't always work, but it really kind of worked in that moment, and it was powerful, man. So anyway.
Yeah, I got home from my wedding because, like, I'm with them both all day, every day. And he's like, I had them all day, and it was rough. And I was like, yep. But Davina's way more, she listens to him better than me. But I guess that's just reason. The life of a mother. But when he got home, when I got home from my wedding, he told me that he's crying. He's like, it's just awesome. And I was like, it is awesome.
My eyes were sweating.
Yeah, my
eyes were sweating.
But I did want to touch, this actually just got laid on my heart this morning during worship, just to touch on for parents and for, you know, trying to take that moment to enter into God, to pray, to read the Bible, or just to be like, I need a moment of quiet time so I can tune back in and hear God's voice because it is too loud. I need a moment. And where you almost feel like you're gypping God because you're like, I can't set aside that time. This kid keeps coming in. I'm not getting my alone time. I really, I heard this recently, and I've actually like held on to it really, really well for the past 2 months with two kids. Just in those moments when you feel interrupted, like you're actually praising God when you say, okay, I do value my Bible, but I value my child in this moment, and I'm going to love them, I'm going to choose them in this moment, and that's going to be worshiping God. In those moments where you feel like, man, I'm just dishonoring God, you're actually honoring God by doing the thing he has called you to do, by loving your children and putting them in your life. I'm not saying put them before God, but I'm saying in those moments where you feel overwhelmed, when you feel like life is surrounding you and you can't get your moment, or like when your kid's crying at 2 a.m. and you're like, man, I just need a wink of sleep. Like, they'll cry themselves to sleep. It's okay. But to take that moment to go say, you know what, I'm going to worship God in this moment, and I'm going to go love on my kid. I'm going to go see what my kid needs, because in that moment, you're choosing God as you choose your children. But yeah, so.
The last thing I want to say, we already touched this on it, but fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction. My dad was awesome, but I was a wild child, man. Let me say it like this. I wasn't really that wild. I always had my own mind. I was like, listen, you're going to have to convince me to do that before I'll do it.
Well, like your parents raised you like.
They kind of raised me to always ask questions.
Hey, you don't agree with me? Then
ask me why.
Tell me, yeah.
My mom did that. My dad did not. And it didn't really work by the time I started working with my dad really a lot. And so anyway, the element here is that I, ever since then, am like, man, I really was not an easy kid for my dad to raise. Because my dad and me, we worked at a farm. I said this before. We had a sheep farm. We baled a lot of hay. We did hay way more than we did row crop and whatnot. But anyway, it was a lot of work. And there's a lot of opportunities to disagree with my leadership, which was my dad. Because I thought, when you're 15 or even 14, I always had a better way. No, Dad, that's wrong. I got a better idea. And so anyway, by the time it came around, I read this verse. And if you haven't caught on yet, I so believe the infallible word of God that it's like, whoa, man, I screwed up as a kid. I'm going to have a short life. I'm like, yeah, I will not be living long. Darn it. And I may have even cursed my kids. You can bust that off. I did that at Encounter when I was a kid. I have since apologized to my dad and got a lot of freedom from that, and I love him to death. He is a great father. And even back in the day, my dad like never got angry, never got mad. All I want to say is that for some of you that are like, well, I just was a wild child, and that makes sense. No, man, you can break that off your family. You can live in freedom because, praise God, I believe that's where I'm living. But anyway, just a little bit about that. Now we get down to little old you, little old me. It all starts from within. If you haven't caught that yet, we've been talking about, hey, you have to identify yourself as a representative of heaven. But if you do that, or if you have that mindset, and then you feel like, ah, it's just some stuff, I don't want to do that, I don't want to submit to God today. Hey, the walk with Jesus is a daily walk. It's every day I wake up and I choose to love my wife. I don't just naturally love her. I choose to love her every day.
Some days
I don't have to choose to love her. I'm like, ooh, she's looking good today. She's being nice to me. She's treating me right.
Every day.
Praise the Lord. And then that day that you're having a bad day, you have to choose your wife or choose your husband, whatever.
Wow.
So anyway, when it starts from within, you're going to see the results of choosing God in your private, your little quiet time, in your little bubble around you. I choose God. That transcends all of these. That transcends your parenting or your relationship. It's a little bit of a sore subject. Your relationship with your parents. Maybe it's damaged. Maybe you're 50 and you hate your dad. Maybe, you know, whatever. I'm not saying you have to be a kid. I'm saying that this will all translate into what it is. And so up to your boss and all the way down to the government. So it starts right here. Starts in your prayer closet. It starts in your living room. That is where all of this will flow from.
Right, and just having the good heart, like I had talked about before, that all this doesn't matter unless you have that good heart. But really, even managing yourself, not only spiritually, but physically. And, you know, we all know that our bodies are a temple. That's such a known verse. But it really comes down to, like, is your body ruling you or are you ruling your body?
Yep.
Because, you know, it's like, well, I can't get this under control. Or, man, I really want that chocolate donut from the freaking gas station. Those little tubes, those little chocolate donuts. I love those things. And I have not had any since we've been married because that's where he drew the line. But it's okay.
And Diet Coke.
Oh, Diet Coke. I want one right now. But it's okay. I tell you what, some things, no matter how long you haven't had them, you still want it, right? But you take control of that, and you say, you know what, I want that, but I don't need that. That's something in my life I don't need. And for those times where you're like, oh, I know I shouldn't do this, or I know I shouldn't go back for that second plate at that buffet, I know I don't need 3 chicken breasts because one is actually the size of my stomach. I don't know how I'm going to fit 3 in there, but I'm going to eat them anyway. You know, like those things where you're like, you know when your mom makes that real good meal, and you're like, you know at the end of the meal that you are going to feel sick, but you're like, I don't care, it's worth it. You know what I'm talking? We've all been there. Don't even act like you haven't. We all have been there. And that's not okay because you're letting your body, your will, overrun what God has for you and what God has for your life. That we need to be able to say, no, I don't need that. No, that's too much. These different things in our life, that you have an ultimate authority, and as this authority that lives inside of your heart, that you should be able to control, to have a say with God's grace to say, I don't need that. Or these are good things for my body, or these are good things or not. Because what you do with your body is worship. And that, you know, we do have an ultimate authority of God. And we have to answer. One day we're meeting him face to face. And we need to answer him not only for the actions that we did, but for the heart that we acted from. Whether it's with our government, whether it's with our bosses, whether it's with our parents, or how we manage our own body in our own time. You have that 10 minutes of spare time. Nobody knows you have that 10 minutes of spare time, but you're going to be accountable at the end of time what you did with that 10 minutes. The littlest thing, the biggest thing, we are accountable. And that our authority, we not only want to listen to them, we not only want to, say, I'm going to listen to what they have to say in my life, but we want to go beyond and above, like I said, to honor them, because that's really where you're going to get the answer. That's really where God's going to show through, and that they might meet God face to face and be like, man, I had that person who worked under me, and they really loved you. You're just going to be that example as we lift them up in prayer. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, and this is how we're closing today. I urge you then, first of all, the petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. When it comes down to it, we're all human. I know we like to think that our bosses are, they should have it all together. That's why they're in charge. No, they're humans. We all mess up. We all have bad days. Like Ryan said, we need to have grace. Just as we would want grace for ourselves, do unto others as you would want done to you. Grace needs to be had for those that are above us. We need to have grace for those that we're with, and that we need to go above and beyond and say, man, my boss was a real tool to me today. And you know what? He's probably having a rough day. I should probably lift him up in prayer. Let's take these things in our life and take it as an opportunity to lift these people up and say, I want them to succeed. I'm sure Daniel wanted his king to succeed, even if he didn't agree with him, because that is what a good servant, that is what a good employee, that is what a good person does. And that we don't have to agree with the way things are done. We don't have to say, well, that's not the best way, or that's not what I would agree with. You know what? There are the non-negotiables, just like Ryan said. There are those things in life that you say, that's not okay, I can't do that, I'm sorry. And not saying, wow, I hope that come back and bite you that you asked me to do that, because that is not what God would have me to do. No, but to handle it with grace and say, I'm sorry. I understand if you feel like that needs to be done, but I can't be a part of that. I hope you understand. To be honoring in the way we handle things. And one day, those things in their lives, they're going to remember that. They're going to remember the employee that honorably disagreed with them, that said, hey, I'm praying for you. How you doing? Oh, man, are you having a bad day? Is there anything I can do to help? Not just going to the break room talking bad about your boss because they're in a bad mood, but saying, going out of your way, going up to them, hey, can I help? What's going on? Do I need to do something? What needs to happen? To really take this opportunity today to check your heart. Say, how have I handled things in my life? How have I dealt with my parents? Is there something I need to go and apologize for? How am I working with my kids? Am I leading them in the right way of authority? Am I raising my kids the way they should be raised? Am I treating my boss the way I would want to be treated? Am I praying for him, or am I cursing him under my breath? Because both of those have the same amount of power. Whether it's under your breath or you're speaking it out loud, there's the same amount of power in both of those. Just like Ryan said, whether the car doors are closed and the windows are rolled up, or whether it's out there and they can hear everything you're saying, same amount of power in those words. And your kids hear both. The people that you're around hear both. The enemy hears both, and it can partner with it. God hears both, and he can partner with it. So let's start saying positive things, praying positive things, believing in our authority, whatever that is in your life, believing in yourself. The things like, I don't feel like I have power to make good decisions in my life. I feel like my body rules myself. I feel like I don't have control. So many times, I feel like all of us have been there where we feel out of control. You're like, there's nothing in my life I'm even in control of. I feel so out of it. To say, no, God, you know what? You are in control of my life. I surrender it all to you. And I ask for the power to make the right decisions in my life.
Come on. Well, let's pray. I want you to stand if you are an employee or an employer. I want you to stand. If you're an authority, y'all are under authority. That's God's authority. We're going to pray. All right. God, we thank you. We praise you today. God, we want to live lives that reflect you. We are representatives of heaven everywhere we go, God. So in Jesus' name, we just pray for personal revival to break out in our hearts. God, some of us are really struggling with some secret sin. Now, that's not just, some of y'all are like, oh, who's looking at pornography, or oh, who's lying? Listen, we're all struggling with a little of something. Some of you get a little angry, whatever it is. In Jesus' name, we just declare breakthrough in our lives right now. It starts deep within our heart, God. Father, we just pray right now that you would be the loudest voice in our mind, in Jesus' name. Yeah, flesh, we just say you are subject to Jesus. You're subject to our souls and our spirits. Yeah. Jesus' name. God, we pray right now for the parents in the room, and we pray for the kids in the room in Jesus' name, that we would submit to our authority and that we would lead our kids well in Jesus' name. We pray for our bosses right now, God, and if you are a boss, we pray for you that you would be, you'd have a divine mind in Jesus' name, that you would be able to lead people in respect of who God is, and deliver the reality of the kingdom of God to these people through your leadership. And as subordinates, as employees, that we would do in our best to serve these people, the men and women that are above us, our bosses, that we would be found righteous in Jesus' name. And we pray for them right now, God. We just lift up our boss to you. We lift up our superiors to you. We just say, God, work with them, Father. Please work with them in Jesus' name. We want to see them do the best in Jesus' name. Now, God, we pray for our government. God, we pray for leadership. We pray for justice to happen. We pray that the Judeo-Christian values that this nation was founded on, that they would stop falling out slowly from our foundation, and that they would be built back up. And that, so listen, I believe this. When you start asking questions about that, you say, hey, well, of all authorities been put in place by God, how is it possible that this so-and-so leader has done some stuff here and there that's made it go wrong? Listen, I believe that's created the opportunity for people's eyes to be open and say, oh my gosh, with that legislation in place, things go really bad, really fast. So in Jesus' name, we just declare for eyes to be open, minds to be open, that they would see the truth. There is a truth and there is a lie. And so in Jesus' name, we just declare truth and justice in our government, God. We pray for those leaders, no matter how lost they are, no matter how corrupt they are. In Jesus' name, we just declare your love on them, that they would have an encounter with you that would change their hearts forever. And we just speak quiet lips to these people that speak death and that just hate on people. Man, we just speak silence to these haters. Come on. In Jesus' name, we just declare mouths that would open to love and to truth. And yes, God, I can't say that enough. Breakthrough, God. Breakthrough in the mindsets and the mentalities of people here in government. Yes, Father. And under the governing authorities. In Jesus' name, we praise you. You are the only real God. You are the most powerful God. You are the creator of the heavens and earth. So I know that nothing is too big for you to deal with, God. There's no breakthrough that's too strong. There's nothing that can hold you back, God. So in Jesus' name, we just declare you to shine through our lives, that we would make a difference, God, with the power of your love and your goodness. Yes, as children of the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Come on.
You've been listening to the Destiny Church Podcast. Our prayer is that today you were encouraged by the word that you heard from the Lord. If you have any questions or would like prayer, please connect with us at destiny217.org. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well, where you can find all of our events and things happening around the church. Thank you for listening to the Destiny Church Podcast, where you can find real, relevant relationships.